Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Jennifer. Good morning or good afternoon, whenever it is that you're listening. Maybe it's late in the evening. It's in the morning for me, and I'm not sure that my brain and my mouth are quite awake. So let's help that along. This is good, and I'm drinking it from my favorite mug, my Woman in Apologetics mug. It was such a great conference. So, hey, glad that you are here. I'm Jennifer, and this is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study, where we love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we let the Word of God dwell in us richly. And today is the third day of our faithful and fearless study through Ruth and Esther. We are going to be doing something really cool today, and if you're new to the Dwelling Richly Bible Study series, then this might be new to you to do. So I'll introduce that in just a moment. But for right now, let's go ahead and pray and get our time started. Father God, we thank you once again for the time that we'll have in your word today. Thank you for the work that you're doing in my life to continue to draw me closer to you. I pray for wisdom as I go into your word. Help me to really think it through, understand, and get to know you better through our study today. And we just ask that you bless our time together right now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, let's go ahead and dig in. Like I said, we are going to do something new for those of you who are new to the Dwelling Richly Bible Study, and old hat for those of you who've done it before. So let me go ahead and switch screens. Ta-da! All right, so we're again in lesson one, day three. And as always, we begin each lesson with prayer and then just write out our memory verse. And we've been memorizing Psalm 42, verses 1 through 2, because over the course of the study, we're going to memorize all of Psalm 42. So let me hop over to that scripture and read that to you. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? How are you doing on memorizing that? Well, hopefully you are keeping it in the context of the entire psalm. I'm going to open up my screen here. I was going to try to open my screen here. Or does it want to get any smaller? Anyway, hold on. Maybe I can do this. There we go. I just wanted you to see the whole psalm. But when you open up your Bible, you'll see it. Obviously, there's only 11 verses. And I'm memorizing it out of the English Standard Version. You memorize it out of whatever works for you. That helps you remember it and really resonates with you. I'd encourage you to read it out of a couple of different translations and see which one you like. And just for continuity's sake, because I've been doing a lot of reading and studying out of the ESV, the English Standard Version of the Bible, I'm going to go ahead and memorize it out of this one this time. So hopefully you're doing well on that. Take a minute to write that down there at the top of your page. So today we're going to read and write Ruth 1, 1 through 2, 2. The way the Bible study is divided isn't exactly by chapter. I kind of dip into other chapters as we go. So we're going to write all of chapter 1 and the first two verses of chapter 2. Exactly. Yes, we're going to write it. So again, if you're brand new to the Dwelling Richly Bible Study, that's one of the things that we do that's unique to the study, is we write the entire book that we've been studying through. And it's been a lot of fun. We've done quite a few books now. So Ephesians and Hebrews and now Ruth. And I feel like I'm forgetting one. Anyway, those of you watching and listening later, send me a message and tell me what I'm forgetting. Anyway, let me go ahead and read the introduction to this idea of writing, and we'll go from there. Over the course of the faithful and fearless study, you'll be writing your own copy of Ruth and Esther. At the end of this lesson packet, I've provided several blank pages for you to write the word. While you study, write any thoughts, notes, questions, even drawings that will help you to engage and understand scripture. Before you read and write, pray that God would open the eyes of your heart to clearly see the wonders in his word, and that he would give you wisdom to grasp and apply what you're reading. So today's lesson is read and write Ruth 1, 1 through 2, 2, and write and memorize Psalm 42, 1 through 2. So that's our daily exercise. And then we're going to take a look at the create and share think ahead as well. So at the back of your packet on day 10, which technically is day 11, I noticed, because of the way I numbered the lessons this time through. I'm going to scroll all the way through to that. I always like you to take a look at the last lesson. Come back, screen. As we begin. And the last lesson is a day for you to do exactly what the title says, to create something and then share it. And so that's why we call it the Create and Share Day. So there's generally 10, in this case 11, even though I counted them wrong, misnumbered them when I typed it out. lessons. And then the 10th lesson is always this day. So let me go ahead and read that to you. And you can be thinking about that now as we move forward in the rest of our lesson. In this first create and share day of our study, I'd like you to think ahead to the final day of our study. Where will you be in your faith? What will you have learned? How will you have changed? In the weeks to come, we'll read, study, write, and memorize our way through Ruth and Esther, and hopefully so much more. My heart as we begin is that you will come to love and actually be excited to know God better. How does that happen? Reading facts about God? Doing a Google search? Who is God? You might get to know some details, but will you actually know him? Of course not, not really. You actually need to spend time with God to get to know him. Doing a Bible study is a great start. Reading your Bible faithfully is good too. Have a daily devotional. That's great also. But if your desire is to truly know God, you can't just read about him. You must spend quality time with him. Take some time today to write out what you already know about God and write what you'd like to know better. How will knowing God help you know your purpose and help you live your faith? Write your thoughts below, then share them with a friend and so you can enjoy this process together. And I've just given you some space there to write that out. So take some time at the beginning of this study to think about that as you move through. And on day 10, that's exactly what we'll be doing. We'll be sharing our thoughts and about what we're learning in the study about God and what we hope to learn as well. So because today is a writing day, I'm going to let you go ahead and either pause this and come back and write on your own and or just continue listening to me as we go through the lesson right now, or maybe listen to me while you're writing. Let's go ahead on to the next part of day 3. So again, writing our memory verse. I'm like, Lucy, do you want to say hi? Come here. Hey. Hey, this is Lucy. Sometimes she joins me on my lesson. Can you say hi to everybody? She's got a little bite. She's been biting on her paw a lot, and so it's itching her like crazy. And I just put some essential oils on it before we started, so we'll see how she does. She's not feeling too good with the little itchy that's going on her leg. Right. So you might be hearing a tapping in the background. It's her scratching at her tummy, actually. All right, here we go. We're going to kick off Ruth's story with the end. And the end is really just another beginning. We're going to read Matthew 1:1-17. After reading verse 17, stand up and shout, ta-da! Just kidding. But actually, I do feel like that after reading this. So let's go back and we're going to take a look at Matthew 1:1-17. And again, if you are using the online version of this, you can click the links there and they'll just take you right to a screen and it'll open up the verse for you. Here we go. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram, and Ram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David the king. And David was the father of Solomon, the wife of Uriah, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asaph, and Asaph the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, and Joram the father of Uzziah, and Uzziah the father of Jotham, Jotham the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh the father of Amos, and Amos the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. After the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, and Abiud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, and Azor the father of Zadok, and Zadok the father of Achim, and Achim the father of Eliud, and Eliud the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar the father of Mathan, and Mathan the father of Jacob, and Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David to the deportation of Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. Ta-da! That is I don't know. I got goosebumps reading it. It's just like it builds and builds and builds. And if you know anything about the stories of some of the people that I was reading their names in this genealogy, I just, you know, heard Josiah and what a good king he was. And of course, David and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Tamar. And anyway, all these names they bring with them, their stories and the things that God did to weave their lives together to bring us to Jesus Christ. So now go back and reread the genealogy and underline in the names of the women listed, in the names, and underline the names of the women listed, then write their names here. So let's go back through and take a look at that and get the names of the women in verse 3, 5, 6, and 16. So here's verse 3. Judah, the father of Hezron, of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. I'm going to go ahead and highlight that one at the moment. And Perez, the father of Hezron, and Hezron, the father of Ram, and so on. And then we get 5, and the father of Boaz by Rahab, and I already underlined that one. And Obed by Ruth, and I already underlined that one. And then 16. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, I'll underline that too. Of whom Jesus was born, so is called the Christ. And back to our lesson now. And verse 6, sorry, but not by name, but by implication. Verse 6. And Jesse, the father of David, the king, and David, the father of Solomon, by the wife of Uriah. There we go. You get her name in there. All right, so back to our lesson. So we have Tamar, and you can just write those in here. Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, by implication, Bathsheba. If you're not aware of that story, that will be a good one to look up in the Old Testament. And verse 16, Mary. The genealogy mentions 5 women: Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, he that had been the wife of Uriah, and Mary. Not only is this unusual in Jewish genealogy, but all of these women had a tarnished reputation in some way or another. How could women of such a lowly reputation make it into the genealogy of the King of Kings? Tamar had her children by acting as a prostitute. It's a pretty radical story, actually. When we go back, we'll take a look at that. Rahab was a prostitute before she joined the Israelites. Ruth was a Moab, a hated people in Scripture, a cursed people by God's design. I mean, that's what ended up happening there. Bathsheba had an adulterous affair with David. Mary, though pure, was with child out of wedlock. Rahab and Ruth were also Gentiles, something a Jew would not expect in the line of the Messiah. Certainly, the grace of God is displayed in the record, and it is a reminder for his grace, that his grace is for all. Do you ever struggle with doubting that God could use you, bless you, fix you after all the things that you've done in your life? Do you know someone else who struggles with this? And this is the type of question I want us to think about even as we go throughout this whole Bible study, that this is going to minister to you, but that's not an end in itself. It should minister to you so that you can then minister to others. And the things that you're learning, the thoughts that are occurring to you, the aha moments that you have in this study will hopefully be things that will empower you and equip you to minister to the family, the friends, the loved ones that are in your life. What are some ways you've personally struggled with your place in God's plan? Have you found lasting resolution to this, and why or why not? This is the kind of question I'd like you to be able to come back to the group and share with people, because maybe you're still struggling with that and you'll hear something from someone else. Or maybe it's something that you've had some resolution to and you've come up with ways that help you. Write them down, and we'll use this as one of our questions when we come back to our group. Satan is dedicated to keeping us in the defeated mindset, but God wants to renew our mind and have the minds of Christ. He wants us to be daughters of truth and light, not children of lies and darkness. Read Ecclesiastes 3:11. Put the truth of this verse into your own words. Let's take a look at that. Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has put eternity into man's hearts, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to end. A simple way to put verses like this into your own words sometimes is to read a different version of them, and it helps. Let's take a look to, not the J.B. Phillips, it's the New Testament. Let's do the New Living Translation. Yet God has made everything beautiful for its time. He has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. And if you hit this bar up here, it adds the parallel Bible automatically. So now I have the NLT and the New International Version right next door to each other. And I can keep on doing that for 5 times on this one page. There we go. King James there. And I can change this. Let's do easy to read. All right. God gave us I'm going to read over here, the easy to read version. God gave us the ability to think about his word, but we can never completely understand everything he does. And yet he does everything at just the right time. So hopefully one of those translations help you sort of put that into your own words. Think about what Ecclesiastes 3:11 is saying and how that applies to you today. Think about God's greatness and plans for all mankind. He knew Ruth, Tamar, Rahab, Bathsheba, Mary. He knows you right now, where you're sitting, reading this. He knows you. How does the truth from this verse connect to your heart and what you're facing today? I mean, I think about the room that I'm in right now and the 4 walls around me and the roof above me, and I think about the sense that it has that God feels so far away. Obviously, I don't see him. I imagine, you know, the sense of God. But the Bible says that God has placed eternity in our hearts. Like, we have a sense of it really close inside of me. And so when I think of eternity in our hearts and God setting it, I read names like this of Ruth and Tamar and all of them, and I think about 3,000 years ago when these women, some of them, lived, or up to as close as 2,000 years ago. And that I can still picture them, and I can still recall and imagine their story and God working in their life. And yet I don't have any sense of the future that I have any more than anyone has of their own. All I know is that I know the creator of the universe, and I trust and I believe that he has been at work throughout time and that he hasn't stopped. And that it doesn't exclude me, because I feel small and insignificant in the grand scope of things. I don't have a big story that's going to end up in a Bible or going to end up in anybody's book for that matter. I just have my story, and that God is still working in my life, as insignificant as I am in the grand scheme of time, right? And that's pretty amazing to me. So think about how that feels to you, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on that as well. Go ahead and you can even share those in the comments, because I'd really be interested. We've all struggled with feeling like we're not faithful enough, or we're too fearful to really move forward and enough or skilled enough to be used by God. How will your understanding so far in the story of Ruth help you see the truth of who God is and be an encouragement to you or a friend going through a similar struggle? So we've read all the way through Ruth. We know how the story ends. We're reading the beginning over again now and getting ready to dive in deeper. Take a moment to think about how the understanding that you have of Ruth's story already. And I'd encourage you, those of you especially who have spent a lot of time in Bible study, I would caution you to reflect truthfully, honestly, and in a more real and raw sense. I think oftentimes, especially those who've been in Bible studies before, and I'm going to say this because it's been true of me, we can get to a point like this of writing out and like the same old words I've always said before about things, and these types of questions come up. And so what I'm working on doing is, as I'm answering questions like this, I'm trying to be more real to my moment right now and not give answers that I've always given in the past, and just really own where I am in my walk with the Lord right now. I think there's a temptation to, again, go back to those pat answers and just get things done. And I don't know if that is true for you, but it definitely is something that I have struggled with in the past. And so I'm trying to be more mindful about not relying on things that I've learned from the past, and really own where I'm at right now and think right now in this moment, what am I seeing? How am I seeing? Who am I seeing God work and use in my life? Let me close with these thoughts. There's something so reassuring and connecting about that you too experience, you too, the band, but you too, that experience, you know, where it's as simple as finding out that someone also loves sushi like you. And a shout out to all of my sushi loving friends out there, or as significant as hearing someone say that they've had the same serious doubts and fears as you have. Connecting to one another through our shared experiences brings us closer in community. I believe that's by design. One of the first words we have recorded in the Bible affirms this when God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Boom. Community, identity, purpose. God saw that all he created was good and saw also that one thing wasn't good enough, being alone. That is why the Word of God isn't a theology text. Stories of how God connected with us, how we connected back or missed the connection, and about men and women connected with one another. It's the accounts of men and women of faith and faithlessness, of fearless obedience and failures to trust. All these accounts point us to God's love and plan and desires for us. The account of Ruth's life will bring us through these kinds of connections and you two moments together. As we move into the study, let's set our intention together to see God more clearly and to connect in faithful fearlessness to one another as well. Well, I hope that's an encouraging start to the rest of this lesson. Always the very first time we get into something, I feel like it. We give this nice, well, I hope it feels slow, but a slow rolling start into the passage so that we don't just dive in and start answering questions. I've tried to design it so that we read and reflect and we write and reflect and we think through the big picture, reflect, and then we'll kind of break it down and get into smaller details. So, all right. Well, thank you for being with me here today in this study. And as always, please leave a comment, say hi, thumbs up and a like and a follow, and let me know that you've been listening. And it's nice to see those comments and to gauge with you in that way. And as always, if you leave a comment, I can pray for you by name and know that you've been listening and joining in on this. So I look forward to being back with you here at our next time together. For now, know that you are loved and prayed for. Bye-bye.